I'm Larry Lee with Brownfield Ag News Network. Dr. Phil Cardoso joins us from the University of Illinois. Forages matter as far as what you feed and what animals you feed them to. You've done some research about the different forages and how that affects the animals. What are you learning as far as what works, what doesn't?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So the idea is to provide options for farmers, not only on the type of forage, but also something that relates back on what time of the year that they can seed that crop and harvest that crop, especially that does not interfere with corn or soybeans, for example. So that's where cover crops become very interesting. They also have a whole environmental benefit that we can get from that, from the side of covering the soil, don't let it uncovered. So I think that's very good. So that's one part. The other part is we need to feed cows at different moments very differently. Sometimes we need a very high quality forage, but there is one moment in specific before she calves that actually we are looking into diluting the energy of that diet. And that means that we need to provide a forage that has very poor quality.
Never would have expected that, especially at that time.
Yeah, so there's some research. That's where the whole control energy diet concept came from, is that the cows actually, they eat 156% of what they need. So if you think energetically, so if we think that we just add corn silage to cows before calving, they will overeat it. So we need to help them to not overeat it. And then the best strategy that we've seen so far is, for example, to include wheat straw, about maybe 5 to 6 pounds, depends on the, you know, the diet and the other ingredients on that diet. But usually cows, I would say most cows in the U.S., they are eating some sort or some amount of wheat straw right before calving to dilute that energy. And don't get me wrong, we are not trying to lower the energy. We just want to give the cow the energy that she needs, no more, no less. And our research come into not only using wheat straw, where in some regions in the country it's very hard to get, but can we use another crop? And that's where we come up with the hybrid rye.
In your studies with the hybrid rye, how does that compare to the wheat?
So our hybrid rye, when we harvest it at not the best quality stage, so we waited that rye to grow a little bit more, so we call it the milky stage, so a little bit passed by. When we harvest it and then we feed that, replacing for that wheat straw in the diet, that comparison was that the wheat straw and the rye milky on the prepartum settings, the cows eat just the same, right? So there was no difference in the dry matter intake, body condition score, body weight, everything was the same. The impact was as a carryover to the postpartum. And when I say carryover is when cows calve and now they are in a different diet, does it matter what they ate before? And that's what we were testing.
And the answer to that is?
So the answer to that the best combination that we found in this experiment was wheat straw prepartum. This is still the best option. And postpartum, instead of alfalfa haylage, was to have a combination of alfalfa haylage and rye boot. Harvested at the boot stage. So that helped us to not only have the cows perform better, but when we put that into numbers on the economic analysis, that also provided the highest income over feed cost. So we were comparing $15.5 versus $14.5 from the other combinations.
So not only does it balance out the cow's nutritional needs a little bit better, it's saving the farmer some money.
Yeah, and remember that this most likely is a forage that doesn't interfere with your other forages. So you don't have to seed less corn to have the hybrid rye. You are doing that in an area that would not be used. So I think that's what becomes, as we didn't do that in our analysis, but like this opportunity cost. We are placing our analysis that rye at $55 per ton as fed. And if you think about it, you're a farmer and you're producing that, your cost is very different than that number, right? So that could play a difference when I need to buy wheat straw versus I can do my rye milky, right? But then there was one thing we thought about is, would it be easier for the farmers to just seed hybrid rye, harvest at rye boot, and then do rye boot and wheat straw prepartum. Maybe that would be a combination also that could save some money to the farmer, especially if wheat straw, it's very expensive for them.
That's something that's being studied now?
No, that's something that is, we always finish a trial and we have other things that we would like to do or we think about considering. So I think that combination will be on the nutritionist's hands and getting analysis of the feeds and making sure that they formulate the diet to provide what the cow needs.
Any advice for the farmers as they look at their options here?
Yeah, I would say look pretty closely to cover crops, especially because feed costs are always a big component of that check of your cost. So always look for that. And I think that just making sure working on the best way to get that, right? So sometimes we can get rain on when we're harvesting or something like that. So plan something for a window where it's feasible and fairly safe to harvest that material and get into bales. And I would say start small and then see how it fits, learn if the types of inoculants. Like I said, we didn't use inoculants, but perhaps we also didn't get the best dry matter that we could have in our experiment. So we're just talking about here about that 40%, 50% for bales, maybe 40, 35 for silos would be adequate, but I would be, we didn't use inoculants, but I'll be curious to see adding inoculants. Same stuff if you had 30 kale or if you had other cover crops. I think they lack a little bit of starch, so everything we can help to lower that pH faster, we should be giving that hand. So I would, you know, encourage to get the quality material so your experience is positive with that.
It sounds like there's room for more experiments and studies in the cover crop world.
That's true. I mean, there is a whole incentive on that area. However, there's a lot of variability as well, and those trials usually they are very long because you have to put in the ground, harvest, get information, and then feed to the cows. So in our world, it's not a very cheap type of experiment, but, you know, Milk Producers Association or other organizations, if they can help to foster that type of forage, especially cover crops, I would encourage, because that's pretty much a free forage. I'm not going to say free, but it's a good moment for us to do that. It's good for the environment. It's good for the cows. Good for the budget of the farm. Why not?
Anything you'd like to add today?
No, that's it. Just be safe out there. I know that we are getting to corn area. Probably everybody seeded their corns or, you know, just keep looking at that, scouting that corn, make sure fungus is controlled. And if you need some fungicide, make sure you're ahead of it.
Dr. Phil Cardoso with the University of Illinois, thanks for being with us on Brownfield.
Thank you very much, Larry.